Today on Real Radio.
So how should we live? What about the coming of the Lord? You can meet Jesus Christ today in the fog at an intersection. Are you ready? He could blow the trump of God. Are you ready? Jesus is coming back. Do you love his appearing?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're looking at chapter 4, which is the last of these two New Testament epistles. In fact, it is likely the last or among the last things that Paul ever wrote. You see, he's about to be executed by Roman authority, and indicates that in the passage we'll look at here. And yet, he actually looks forward to that which awaits him. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called A Good Finish to Life.
And as we run and as we fight the fight of faith, when a turn comes up ahead and it's not what you had planned, rest in the Lord. You may lose your job. And just because everybody else is losing their job, don't think that you're just a number. Listen, pal and Mrs. Pal, you're a Christian. You are a Christian. You have God's fingerprints all over your life. A lot of people might lose their job. You didn't lose your job. God is moving you on somewhere. God is preparing you for something. I only wish I knew what it was. That's not for you to know. God told Abraham, somebody asked me, what's the vision for this church? I hate that. You know that. I don't know. For crying out loud. I mean, let's be honest. We're here to preach the word of God, if anything, and we'll get to it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14 is the vision for this church. But people say, well, what's your vision? Do you plan to have a 10,000-seat auditorium in 5 years? No. Well, what about 3 years from now? What's your game plan? Just waiting on the Lord. That drives people nuts. What's your vision? I said, well, it's the same one Abraham had. Well, that's good. Yeah, it's in Hebrews 11:8. He went not knowing where he was going. Follow the Lord. The Spirit's like the wind. You can't tell where it's coming from and where it's going. Now, if that makes you uncomfortable, then go find some structured, concrete plan. But as for me and my house, we'll fly by faith, you know? God's leading us. He's got a definite plan for every one of our lives. And we're so excited. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, who has saved us, Jesus has, and has called us with a holy calling, according to his own purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9. You look at Paul in Acts chapter 9. He's riding his pony going to kill Christians. And God interrupts his life with a holy calling. He tells Ananias, who's been praying, Ananias, this man Paul, he's a chosen vessel of mine. And Ananias goes, oh, wait a minute. That guy's a crazy man. Lord, Paul's a nincompoop. He's killing Christians. He's out of control. And God says, he's a chosen vessel of mine. I got him. I got him under control. And God has our lives under control. He's moving us on. How do we fight this fight? How do we finish? How do we keep the faith? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I love this verse. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight which does so easily ensnare or beset us, and let us run with endurance the race which Christ has set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Don't you love that? Is that beautiful or what? Let us lay aside every weight. Listen, that's not sin. Look at it again. Let us weigh aside every weight and the sin. Did you see that? Well, what does weight mean? Well, there's enough in that little context there to offend all of us. What does weight mean? Lay aside every weight. It doesn't mean sin. It means lay aside every weight, every care that pulls you away from God, investing time in a foolish way. TV. TV's not sin. It could be sin with what's on TV today. You can be watching a wonderful documentary that's really kind of neat, and God says, I want you to turn it off, and I want you to open your Bible. Now, that documentary is not sin. But if you're struggling back and forth, it becomes a weight. What if working out? It's not sin to work out. But when it begins to pull away from what you ought to be doing, Paul says, lay it aside. And I love yard work. I love it. I've had to lay it aside because it takes time away from me and God. Each of us have our own thing. Television's probably a big one. We need to be careful. We need to call sin, sin, and identify it and get away from it. And the things that beset us, the things that trip us up, that aren't blatantly sin, we need to lay them aside. We need to get away from them and begin to run a real diligent walk. Run a diligent walk. Run a diligent race. Be careful about what we're doing as Christians. The time is at hand. The coming of the Lord is near. We need to be just so groomed and ready to move for God. And I like verse 2 of Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do you know what I have next to my Bible in there? Coach Jesus. I like that. Okay, I'm ready to run. Jesus is there. He's got his hat and his whistle on. And he's going, now keep your knees together, pick them up, drive, push off hard. And once you push off hard, just keep your eye right on that wire. Don't look to the guy to the left or to the guy to the right. If 1,000 fall to your left and 10,000 to your right, I don't care. You keep your eye on the finish line. Amen. Somebody mentioned since there's been people falling, public people, someone said, oh, this is really shaking my faith. It better not shake your faith, because then your faith is on man. Amen. And on the performance of men. You better be running the race with your eyes straight ahead on the author and finisher. The coach, Jesus Christ, is working in your life and in my life to get us across the line. He's the author of it, and he's going to see to it that we finish. Just keep your eyes on him. If Billy Graham was to fall, what would you do? Would you weep? You bet. Would you pray for him? Absolutely. Would you cash in the chips? No way. We keep our eyes on Christ. Colossians chapter 3 says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry, it says. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them, but now you must also put off all anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy talk. Dirty jokes. I don't know which one of you gave me this article this week, but I'm grateful you did. The timing was perfect. Listen to this. This is from a child psychologist concerning dirty language. A way for parents to decrease a child's interest in filthy language is to provide a legitimate avenue for it. Child psychologist Gordon Harper says, concerning the dirty word game. You each try to say as many dirty words as you can within 1 minute by talking as fast as you can. But you're not allowed to introduce new words. Make it a game. Don't correct your child when he uses bad words. You will alarm him, thinking that he has stumbled onto something. Okay. Never wash out a child's mouth with soap or react in an angry or violent way to filthy language or outburst of bad verbal words. You'll only make him feel bad about himself, which is something very normal to say. And the bigger deal you make out of it, it is more likely your child will use this language as a way to manipulate you. Don't do anything about it. Don't wash his mouth out with soap, this guy says. Well, maybe he shouldn't wash his mouth out with soap, but you ought to correct them. This is amazing to me. If a child consistently uses dirty talk in a way that is angry rather than humorous, children often use an adult obscenity without knowing what it means. And when that happens in your home, ask your child what he thinks it means, and then give him an appropriate definition. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12 says, no talk, no potty head talk. No bad talk. No dirty jokes. Isn't that a crack up? Paul says, no way. And you might say, well, gosh, that's a little harsh, isn't it? We're talking about God. We're talking about holiness. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about being Christians. God says, no, no. And the other thing that we need to do is add to our race, add to our purpose and our calling. And personally, this is what I consider the spiritual bylaws of this church. We always have thought so, and we do so even now. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. It says, for this reason we also, since the day that we heard, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that beautiful? Man, that is a mouthful of joy. 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. Philippians 2:12, therefore, you need to add these things. We need to add these things to our lives. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Does that mean you earn your way to heaven? No, it means now that you're saved, add to your race, add to your course, add to your fight godly things. What are you doing? What am I doing now that I'm saved? And then finally, Paul says, keep the faith, or that he has kept the faith. That word means to guard or to preserve or to keep the faith unmarried from the world. We need to be careful, people. We need to understand that we've been called as Christians to run this race with a purpose. And we need to run accordingly. Paul says, do you not know that those who run the race run all, that's with all of their might they run, but only one receives the prize? And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And there's the key, be careful in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Paul goes on to say that I discipline my body. I do not fight with uncertainty, but I fight with certainty. I do not run out of control. I run a straight line. And Paul is saying that in his departing moments. Very, very essential. Paul says concerning this fight, it is the fight of faith, and that just simply means good revealed Christian doctrine, the Bible. Paul is saying by speaking these words, he's saying, I've been obedient to it, I've propagated the word, I've defended the word, and now I'm passing it on. I'm handing it over the baton. And he goes on to say now in verse 8, and we'll wrap this up. I love this. He says, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who have loved. You got to circle have loved. This is the first time Paul has ever mentioned this. And it'll be the last time he ever mentions it, because the time is appropriate. Have loved his appearing. Paul knows that he's not going to see the return of Jesus Christ in glory. He's going to God. God's not coming to him. And that is very key. Before we get into that a little bit more, Paul says, finally. That word finally means upon conclusion. Upon the conclusion of this message, dear Timothy, and by the way, my life. Upon conclusion, there is laid up for me. And this word laid up means to be put on layaway or reserved, the right size. There's a crown with Paul's name on it for the exact size that is needed. Paul says it's laid up for me. There is a crown that fits this little Jewish head, bald and all, he would say. And it's all mine. The Lord has prepared it. And it's a reference to the Olympic crown, or the Olympic laurel wreath that was given to the gold medalist. Now, I mentioned that Paul says, have loved his appearing. Write these down. You're going to need these. Are you ready? Everybody, get ready, get ready. Next to that verse, you need to write Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, you hear that? To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin to salvation. You got that? Those who eagerly wait for him. Paul says, I've waited. I've loved his appearing. But where are you and I right now? We're eagerly awaiting his appearing. Are you this morning? Are you waiting for the appearance of Jesus Christ? Is it exciting to you? Hebrews 9:28 says that we need to be eagerly awaiting him. What about Luke chapter 2, verse 25? And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the appearance of Jesus Christ. He's an old man, and he was waiting and waiting. And then that goes on in Luke 2, that when he sees Jesus, he looks up into heaven. He says, oh, Lord, your servant has seen the salvation of Israel. Let him depart in peace. Time for me to die. I saw the Lord. And he was a little 8-day-old baby. He was waiting. So where does that put us? I tell you, did you ever realize this, that Paul was a pre-tribulationist? I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but study it. This is the first time and the last time Paul says, have loved his appearing. Past tense. But Paul always spoke earlier, when death was not imminent in his life, about him meeting the Lord. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. He included himself in being caught up. What about 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18? Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died or fallen asleep in Christ, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remaining shall be caught up. Paul was expecting Jesus to come back. He wasn't looking for the Antichrist. He was looking for Jesus to come back. And I like that. So how should we live? What about the coming of the Lord? You can meet Jesus Christ today in the fog at an intersection. Are you ready? He could blow the trump of God, and we can get raptured out of here today. Are you ready? Jesus is coming back. Do you love his appearing? Is it a vital part of your doctrine? Is it important to you? Then we who are alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord shall be caught up. It's important, people. That's why Jesus said in Luke 21:36, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that are coming to pass, and you can stand before the Son of Man." You know what that means? He says, pray that you miss the tribulation. That's what it says. Read it in the whole chapter. Pray that you're found worthy. How are you found worthy? Trusting in the blood of the Lamb. That's how you're found worthy. Boy, here's an applicable verse for this day and age. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our politics," our citizenship, that's that Greek word politics, "is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Are you waiting? Jesus gave us a word of warning in Revelation 3, verses 2 and 3. He says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, where you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." He says, you better be watching. And then finally this, in Revelation, Jesus says, "I know your works. I know your works, Calvary Chapel. See, I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it, for you have a little strength, and you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Jesus says he's coming. Be patient. Do the work. Before us is an open door. You're alive. You're breathing right now. I ask you, what purpose is it in your Christian life that you're living? What purpose do you have? What call do you have upon your life? We need to know. Are you fighting? Are you finishing? Are you faithful? Paul's cry goes out to us this morning. What am I doing as a Christian? Do I fight with a purpose? Am I warring the Christian warfare with purpose?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy in chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. It's a presentation called A Good Finish to Life, where Paul knows he's going to be executed and yet actually looks forward to that which awaits him. Now we are coming to the end of this series through these two canonical letters of the New Testament, and one important point to remember about these writings is that Paul was not writing to churches, he was writing to an individual. And that's one reason they're so valuable to the believer. So to hear the series from the very beginning, we've condensed all of Pastor Jack's series of 1st and 2nd Timothy all onto one MP3 CD. So, as is often the case, our offer is this. For your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send it your way. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can send in a gift online if you'd like. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or the traditional way, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.